Oh, yeah.
That's you.
Did I miss my cue?
Yeah, you missed your cue. That's you.
Sorry, guys. I legitimately was just standing there in prayer, just waiting, and I got lost in the moment. But anyway, you may take your seats, get comfortable. It's great to be here today, and I am really excited to be able to be sharing the word with you today. It's on one of my favorite topics because we are in this series, Transformed. And what it's all about is about being a born-again believer. A born-again believer. And if you missed the start of this series from a couple of weeks ago, you can check it out on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe so you don't miss anything in the future. But if you missed the start of it, or perhaps you're new to church, that term born again may sound just a little bit strange. And Nicodemus, a man in the Bible, thought the same thing. He thought it was a bit strange. He was trying to rationalize and work out how it's possible to be physically born again. And it's gross and weird and not going to happen, because Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. How do we do that? How do we become spiritually alive? How do we become spiritually reborn? Great question, Anthony. I know that question was in your mind. I'm so glad you asked it. Thanks, buddy. We're going to look at Romans 10, verse 9. And it says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that good news? Come on, let me hear it this morning. Is that good news? That is good news. And last week, we had Pastor John Cathy visiting, and he shared around what he believed was the most powerful scripture. And he shared from Acts 2, talking about when the suddenly happened of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And if that was the most powerful scripture in his eyes in the Bible, I believe that this is the most transformational scripture. Because when you declare with your mouth and you believe in your heart, something happens. Something happens that you don't necessarily expect. Something happens that you can't earn. Something happens that you can't buy. Something happens that you can't manufacture and necessarily prepare for. What does happen is that you receive. You receive transformation through salvation. Transformation through salvation. You know, it's that thing that you know you need, but you don't know you need, so you don't know where to get it until you know where to get it. And there's so many companies and places and people out there that'll claim that they have it and they're going to give it to you, but they don't know what it is or where to get it. So how can they give away what they don't have? Do you get me? Cool. Awesome. You know, we're coming into the springtime. It's coming warmer weather. You know, beer companies are going to start advertising that all you need this summer is that first refreshing sip of beer on a hot day and all will be well. Car companies are going to say all you need is to take a drive in our new big four-wheel drive through the jungle, through the bushland, through the forest, and your need for adventure will be satisfied. Cultural sayings like the Great Australian Dream will tell you that all you need for fulfillment in your life is to own your own home. But none of them will rise to the occasion. None of them can actually give you what you need. None of them can give you what you need to fill that God-shaped hole in your life that men and women have been searching for since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And in fact, there's only one way into the relationship with our Father in heaven that we need, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. Say it with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when you do, the Bible says that you transform. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, the new has come. The old has gone and the new is here. You are a new creation, and that is good news. We're full of good news this morning, right, church? And so this morning we're going to be hearing from some friends of ours about their transformation story. And it's going to be incredible. I know you're going to be blessed by that. And in preparing for today, I was just thinking about my own journey. You know, we all have a story. We all have a journey. It's at different stages. And I think back, I've been a Christian for just over 10 years now. And if I think back where I was before I had that moment, that encounter with Jesus, it wasn't good. We like to tell ourselves that life's okay and we're doing well. I know I tell myself that from time to time. I'm doing all right, but really, oh, I need help. But back then, it was really bad. I was carrying so much hurt, so much pain, both physically, emotionally, mentally. And the way I coped with that was not with healthy things, but more unhealthy things, which only added to the problem or masked it in some ways. And I felt almost in a way that my life was doomed. I felt like the path that I was walking down, the one set before me, could not be changed. I felt like I saw myself making the same mistakes I've made before. I could see myself repeating a legacy of mistakes that I've seen in my family before. I think I actually verbalized that to my wife on an occasion. I felt like I was just doomed on that path. And then one day, my fiance at the time, now my wife, she said, "I want to go back to church." I'm like, "Okay, all right, cool." So I take her to church, this church. And, drop her off, pick her up for a little while. And then we have this men's camp. We have this night away. And I was like, oh, I sort of reluctantly agreed to go. I went. And I felt so out of place. Not because people weren't friendly. Not because it wasn't fun. It was really great. But I just felt like I didn't belong. I felt like everyone else had something I didn't. And I looked around and I saw the men there and I saw light, smiles, I saw joy, I saw something I hadn't seen before. I saw something I didn't just want, I saw something I needed. And so an opportunity came to respond on as part of that time away. And I don't remember what the response call was or anything like that. I just remember knowing I needed to respond. So I got up, I shot to the front. I don't think I said two words up there. I can't recall, to be honest. All I know is that someone asked me to put my hands up like this. I'm like, sweet, cool, yeah, I can do that. And they prayed for me. I don't know what words they said, how they said it or anything like that. But I do know when they did, God showed up. I remember seeing just white come over my eyes. I remember feeling all the weight and baggage and stress and pain and hurt that I've been carrying just lift off. And I felt so light. And the next thing I knew, I was opening my eyes. I was on the floor. I didn't realize. Because the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a powerful, such an incredible, such a delicate yet incredibly powerful way. And my life just transformed. My life did a 180 at that point. And from that moment on, I felt free. Free. And so this morning, in the time that I have, I want to focus on what it means to be a born-again believer in the freedom that God gives us, in that freedom. Now, when you hear that word freedom, you know, a number of things might come to mind depending on your background. If you're a military person, then you might think of freedom that's fought for. If you're someone from another nation where there's more oppression, there's not as many rights, then you might think of political freedom. If you're a movie buff, any movie buffs in the house here, let me see your hands, come on. You might think of Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Freedom! I know when I think of that word freedom, Johnny Farnham comes to mind. Come on. Gotta love Johnny in this house. Come on, love Johnny. But what you need to know today is that we serve a God who's all about freedom. He's all about freeing you. How does he free us? Well, we're going to have a look in Romans 6:18, reading from the Passion Translation this morning. And it says this, it says, "And now celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. You've left its bondage and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants." How does being born again free you? It frees you from sin. It frees you from sin. Now the reality is we could spend a lot of time talking about sin because we're all experts in it. We've all been there, done that. We've all done bad things because sin is quite simply falling short of God's perfect standard. Not your standard, not my standard, not the standard that's socially acceptable in our city, but God's perfect standard. Jesus said that there is no one good but God. But that's good news. You know why? because Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for the perfect. He came for the sinners. He came for you. He came for me. He came for your friends, for your family, for everyone outside this place and everyone inside this place and everyone joining us online today. Jesus came for the sinners. But to be free from something means you have to be oppressed or enslaved by something first. In this case, we're talking about sin. Now, depending on where you're at in your journey, you might be thinking, oh, I'm no slave. You can't say that to me. How dare you say I'm enslaved to something? How's that possible? Well, that's exactly what the Jews thought when Jesus actually had this conversation with them. The reality is, if we're not meeting God's perfect standard, we're sinners. You know, I read this scripture in Romans, and I got this picture as I was reading it, and it was simply this: down on the floor with these heavy, thick chains with shackles around my ankles and my wrists, unable to move, let alone to break free. Now, I love that prophetic word that Beth had this morning. So we're talking about freedom here today, freedom from those chains, and that's exactly what Jesus does. Comes along and those chains just disintegrate. And in exchange for those, he gives you a hand to hold on to, a hand to lift you up, a hand to walk with. You see, being free from sin doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it does mean that we're not enslaved to it anymore. It does mean that we have a choice. It does mean that God empowers us, helps us, leads us into the future that he has for us. Jesus sets us free from sin. You know, you might have done some pretty bad stuff in your time. You might have done some things that others may not have forgiven you for. You might have done some things that you haven't forgiven yourself for. But if you're a born-again believer, listen to this. It says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You are free. But maybe there are some things in your life that are hanging on. Maybe there are some things in your life that you still feel trapped by. Maybe there are some things that you need to do to help find freedom. And the first is this: to confess. To confess your sins, confess what you've done. And I feel like this is a real key point that God wants to hone in on today. I feel like this is the key to unlocking future for some people. I know this is important because, one, it's in my notes. And two, I was driving home yesterday from this place, from where we had our men's brekkie, which was awesome. Absolutely love that. And my car's about 3 years old. It's pretty new. Everything runs really well, perfect. No problems whatsoever. Never had a problem with it. And my radio wasn't working. It's like, that's weird. So I tried all the stations, but I tell a lie because it was working, in that there was only one station it could actually access. Just one station. It was One Way FM, the Christian station here in Canberra. All my others are broken, I don't know why. But I do now, because after a few minutes of listening, someone got on the radio there and started talking about the power of confession. And I feel like God's really speaking this morning through this. What do we confess? In 1 John 1:9, we confess to God. It says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature, and promises he will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness. That's our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and purpose. Secondly, when you might need to confess to someone else, to another person. It says in James 5:16, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. We love that healed and restored part. We love that praying part, but it's the part that comes before it that brings the healing, that brings the restoration, that brings the freedom that we need, that confession. I remember when I was a new Christian, I think maybe for a few months into my new life, I felt God very clearly tell me that there were three things I needed to confess to two different people. And I went, no, I'm not going to do that. That's silly. That's going to be really awkward. It's going to be painful. I don't want to do that. So no, thank you. And then every day that I didn't, I felt that weight, that conviction, to the point from God that I almost physically couldn't move, like it was just drowning me. And so I had those conversations. I confessed these things to these people. And you know what? Those conversations actually went really well. I'm not saying they're always going to go well, but I'm saying they bring freedom when you do. The second thing I want to touch on very quickly before we welcome our friends up this morning is that salvation, being a born-again believer, frees you from your past for your future. It says in Romans 6:18 there, if you've left its bondage, talking about sin, and now, come on, it's the main event, and now, it's that line in the sand, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as His loving servants. The shackles are off, they're left behind. We're driving forward now. We're not going backwards any longer. He brings freedom from our past for our future. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences from our past, but it doesn't mean we don't have to return to that way of living. It means He gives us another option. He gives us a future. He gives us a hope. He gives us direction. He gives us clarity. He gives us so much that we can't manufacture ourselves. Now, some things happen miraculously, automatically, when you make that decision and you have that encounter with God. Other things take time. I remember I stopped swearing immediately when I gave my life to Christ in that moment. It wasn't something I was thinking about. It wasn't something I was trying. I just stopped swearing. It says in the Word not to, but that wasn't the reason I stopped. It was just God. But some things take longer. Some things take intentionality. Some things have to be fought for. And today is a day to make a decision, to not look back, to not return to those ways, but to look to God, to fixate yourself on Jesus Christ and the purpose and path that He has for you, because it's the only way. It's the only way. Now, I remember my salvation experience so clearly. I remember going back to my chair after, or I remember I getting up off the floor and just declaring and testifying about how amazing God was. I couldn't hold it in. I needed to do something. I remember the minister that was there that day. I just emptied my wallet out as an offering, because that's all I had. I gave everything I could possibly give in that moment, because I realized God gave everything to me. And I walked back to my chair and I see my Bible there. Now, when I left it, my Bible was closed. And if you have a Bible, you know that there's a bunch of pages before you actually get to the Word of God. In the back, there's maps and index and all those kind of things. And I walk back to my chair and I see the Bible open to the first page in Genesis. And I felt God just show me that it's the first page of my Word for the first day of my new life. God gave me freedom that day. And now we're going to hear some transformation stories from some of our friends. So would you please welcome up Sally, Sean, and Joe this morning. Give them a round of applause, guys. Thank you very much. All looking very wonderful today. Thank you for joining me. Don't they look great, guys? Yeah, come on. That's right. You know, we have moments like this, and we're doing this throughout this series because it's awesome to hear other people's stories and testimonies, and it can build faith in your life as well. And so I'm going to get these guys to share just a little bit about their story. And so, Sally, I wonder if you can kick us off, please.
Sure. So I'd like to start my story by declaring that my story is actually His story. Mm-hmm. And my story is the story of His grace, His love, His mercy, and His relentless pursuit of those that He loves. So I was born and raised in a Christian family. My parents were pastors. And so I accepted the Lord and was filled with the Spirit and baptized in primary school as a kid. And so I knew the shelter and the safety of living in the kingdom of God, I guess. When I was a teenager, at about the age of 19, I decided that those rules were far too restrictive and not fun like everybody else around me, and decided, very distinctively decided, to turn my back on everything that I knew and live my own life. That did not end well. I went down very hard and very fast, and at the end of that time, I realized that there was an emptiness that I had never experienced before, because I'd always known His presence. And so I did come back to the Lord and chose Him to be my master. And I think then embarked on a life that I ran after him as hard as I could. I served. I went to church all the time. I was on the worship team. I served in kids ministry. I was even on the hospitality team, even though I can't cook very well. and I served him. But personally, my life just kept spiraling down, 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 down. And I couldn't get a hold on that. When I was seeking the Lord how to actually describe my life, he gave me a scripture in Hosea. And that scripture says that he will allure her, he will lead her into the wilderness. And it's in that place that he will show his love for her, and that she would no longer call him master, but you will call me husband. And at the bottom of where I just came to the end of myself, God showed me his incredible love, and I saw him for real. I saw him with my whole heart, and that was a couple of years ago, and I surrendered fully to him, and I realized that he didn't just want me as a servant, or he didn't just want me as a follower, a dutiful follower. He wanted my whole heart. He wanted my full love, to respond to him in love as he had loved me, and that's when I really saw transformation in my life. Wow.
Thank you, Sal. Sean?
Yep. Ooh, sorry. So for me, my story is actually quite similar to you, Sally. I was also born and raised in a Christian family. I went to church every Sunday. I went to youth every Friday. And I had a pretty standard Christian upbringing. I gave my life to Jesus in sort of my mid-teens, and I got baptized. And yeah, that was a pretty standard. Nothing out of the ordinary, I guess. Where it all started to change was when we arrived in Australia. I went off to the military after finishing high school, and for me, that was a huge step. I was suddenly not living with my parents anymore. I was living on my own. I was suddenly an independent who was getting a paycheck every fortnight, and I was on my own. So basically, I went from going to church every Sunday, going to youth every Friday, to nothing. In the space of a short year. So, and then it was like that for a few years, and I had essentially left Jesus on the side of the road, and I was on my own, making my own decisions. I had this plan set out for my life. I was in the military. I had a career path that was laid out for me. It was all sweet. It was all set. It was the way I wanted it. And then that changed, and I was going through a bit of a career change into something that I didn't actually want to do. So all of a sudden, I was stressing, I was full of anxiety, I didn't want to do this, but for me, that was the only path that I could see. So for me, I had no choice. That's what it looked like for me. I ended up having many, many chats with various people in leadership, even with my then girlfriend, Beth, over the phone, and I began to realize I needed to relinquish some control of my life over to Jesus. I needed to ask him for guidance, ask him for help. And that's what happened. And all of a sudden, I could feel like God's love over me. He was taking care of me. He revealed a path to me that I had no idea even existed. And he was taking care of me. So that's where I am today. Awesome. And it's been a wild ride since.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. Joe?
Yeah, my story is slightly different. I grew up in the UK, and I probably grew up in a non-practicing Christian environment. So I was in the Navy, my husband was in the Army, so we used to go to church quite a lot, but it was very much going to like big cathedrals and going through the motions. I wasn't very spiritually enlightened by it all. It was lots of old men making you sing very dreary hymns, if anyone knows, like the Anglican High Church. So I didn't really have a connection. And that all changed one day when my husband, who is a decorated war hero. He's been on operations from Bosnia to Afghanistan. And he was diagnosed one day with severe and complex PTSD. And if you've ever read anything in the newspapers or seen anything on the telly about military PTSD, then that happened to our family. It was just our whole lives fell apart overnight. And if you imagine like a deck of cards, like a pyramid of cards, and how they just all collapse, I just remember standing there one day and looking at my life was sort of scattered around my feet. And I had a particularly bad day. The police had been on the phone about something or other. I was on suicide watch. I was worrying about what was going on. And I had notification came through that they wanted to deploy me to the Middle East. And I was just at that point where, oh, I can't get any worse. And it did. And things just got worse. And then it did. And I just remember crying into my cornflakes one day. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I was like, oh, God, I can't take it anymore. And I was just filled with this most amazing feeling of love and peace, something I've never experienced before. And I was like, oh, what was that? Was that an angel? And so my quest to try and learn what that was and try and find out what this was took me back to church. And of course, I soon discovered that was the Holy Spirit. And then that led me on my journey to where I am today.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. And now, transformation, you know, as we've been talking about, some things happen instantaneously, some things happen by the power of God, other things take are a bit more of a journey and take some time and diligence. So maybe Sally can share around that.
Yeah, I've experienced both. I think the most dramatic transformation that occurred in my life was a couple of years ago, like I said, when I fully 100% surrendered, and I had the Lord brought me to a place where I realized that there were things that I held ahead of him, or things at least that I held on to as well as him, that he was an option, or he was like one of the things that I trusted in. And he brought me to a place where it was all about him, and it wasn't about me anymore. And yeah, in that place of full surrender and really pursuing him with all of my heart, I saw an incredibly dramatic transformation. And I think everyone around me saw it as well, when he just filled me with his love and his peace and his joy. And I just, yeah, I've never been the same since.
Thank you. Sean?
For me, when I was born again, when it happened, I think in the moment, it was this realization that God completely has my back. He's not gonna let you fail. And it's putting faith in that. It's having faith that God will have your back. That, like Sally was saying, you've got to be fully committed. You've got to be 100% in it. God's gonna throw or life's gonna throw you, you know, small curveballs or large curveballs. Like, it's quite easy to say yes to those or go along with those small curveballs and commit them fully to God. But it's the big ones as well that you've also got to commit to. And I think that's been sort of the journey for me, is being consistent with that, consistently saying yes, consistently having faith in God to have my back and to take care of me every step of the way.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, Joe, I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, going through the transformation in your journey, there would have been a lot of change. And so I wonder if you could share around the changes that you saw within yourself and maybe other people have seen.
Well, I think the biggest transformation for me was giving things to God, because I know that we would never have been able to get out of the situation that we were in. We were lower than low, but God helped us get through that. And if you just kind of bundle things up and just give it to God, he can deal with it. And I saw some miracles take place in our relationship and in Paul's health. So learning to do that has been remarkable. And, you know, I didn't know that we were singing this song today, but as I was driving in today, Graves into Gardens was exactly my story, you know, and God can do that for you. And I know that to pray, pray is so important. If you pray, he will answer your prayers for you. So I've become a very prayful person, and I just love the miracles that you see on a daily basis, and just learning to see the beauty in life, that God, you know, he's made so many beautiful things, and you've just got to learn to see them, and they're there. So
thanks, Joe. And lastly, just for you two, I wonder if you can if someone is, you know, going through a situation that you've been through before, you know, what would you tell them?
Firstly, that you are loved with an everlasting love. The depth of his love for each one of us is so deep, so high, so wide, so it's barely fathomable how much he loves you, that he would pursue you and never stop pursuing you because he wants your whole heart in love in response to him. And the other thing is that it's not about us. This story is his. It's for his glory. Every breath we take is for his glory. Every day we get up is for his glory. The healing, the transformation, the provision is to show his glory, his merciful kindness. It's all about him.
All right, awesome.
I would say if you're going through this journey right now, have someone to be accountable towards. Have someone in your life that you can share this journey with, because it's going to make it a whole lot more enjoyable, and they'll also be able to give their perspective. It's always good to get someone else's perspective on the journey that you're on. Yeah.
Fantastic. Can we give these guys a round of applause, everyone?